anxiety, stress, anxiety is the most common form of mental distress in the UK. I've got some figures from 2013. Nearly a fifth of all adults in the UK experience anxiety, depression, according to official figures. There's evidence of anxiety and depression in 19% of all people. And that's just the people who actually go to the medical profession to seek help. I think for the people, other people who don't, there's still high levels of anxiety, stress, and worry. Of course, there's more to stress than just worry. It's all to do with working slightly beyond our capacity for lots of the time. Today, I want to focus on worry and anxiety. Maybe I should give you some of my track record. I naturally have a worrying disposition. If worrying was an Olympic sport, I would make Team GB. So I think I've got quite a lot that I can tell you about worry. And so that's what I want to start with. But we're also going to say, well, what does the Bible have to say about worry? Now, when I put worry into my search facility on my online Bible, no answers. That's because in the Bible it tends to be called anxiety. That's how the translators have translated it. And this is my text for this morning from Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, may your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a very familiar scripture, but I want to show you how you can use this as a practical guide stop worrying. So it's not about just knowing the scripture, but it's actually how we can apply that in our lives. So first of all, I thought I'd try to explore how do we worry? Because if we know how we worry, we'll know how we don't. And of course, there could be that some people here are not of a worrying disposition. You sail through life in calm serenity without an anxious thought in your head. Well, if you're like that, this will give you an insight into people who are not. So how do we worry? Well, we think about possible scenarios or outcomes. I can remember when I was a child and getting worried about things, my mother would say, well, what is the worst that could happen? And she clearly didn't have quite as much imagination as I did. Because there's no situation, however bad, that can't be made worse with holes opening up in the ground, man-eating beasts, and lightning bolts. So the situations that we tend to worry about, I think there are three sorts of situations that I want to think about, and I think this probably covers everything. Situations beyond our control. Decisions that we have to make without actually having the right information. And when we actually have to perform in some way. That could be an interview, it could be an exam, it could be having to give a presentation, it could be having to have a face-to-face meeting with somebody. So these are all the causes of anxiety. And as we go into them, we can start to think about what is the worst that could happen. Not could it hold to the ground and to be something like a bomb. So then we should plan an outcome if that eventuality should take place. Once you do that, Well, how are we going to prepare for when the man-eating beasts come? And then, as we do that, we realise possibility even worse still. And then we repeat. We go round and round and round, getting ever worse and getting more and more worried, anxious and stressed. It leads to a never-ending downward spiral. And ultimately, for 19% of the population, can lead them to the doctors. So what are the two main hallmarks of worry? Uncertainty, particularly about the future, and a need to provide our own solutions. So that's about don't be anxious. I think most people, by the reactions that I got, can relate to at least one of those different aspects. So don't be anxious about anything. So is this Bible verse then just a sort of a flip answer? I saw this, I found this on the internet. It seems like a very glib response to all that doom, gloom, and disaster. Why worry when you can pray? Well, if it was as easy as that, then we probably wouldn't worry in the first place. Having said that I am naturally of a worrying disposition, now I don't worry very much at all. What has changed, what's the secret of what has changed for me, has been in this verse. So what I want to do is I want to lead you through how actually you can turn this natural process of worrying into something that instead of going down a downward spiral, goes in an upward spiral. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So I'm going to more or less follow those different steps of how we worry to see how we can let faith arise through giving everything to God, which is technically called intercession. So, first step, we open our hearts to Him. We invite Him in to this situation, whether it be a fear of the future, a decision we have to make, or a performance that we have to do. We let Him in, and we open our hearts to Him. Because if you notice, those two hallmarks are worrying, the uncertainty about the future, and the need to provide our own solutions. Those are things that exclude God. Because they're all about us, and we become very inward. If we open ourselves to Him and say, I trust you, then situations can change. So rather than thinking about what's the worst that could possibly happen, we can think about possible scenarios and outcomes that God might be able to intervene and do for us. Rather than what's the worst that could happen, what's the best that He could do? Because, you see, you have to remember, He only has good for us. And if He only has good, however bad the situation, He can turn that round to good. And He can do it in incredibly creative ways. So rather than thinking about the worst that could happen, let's think about the best that God could do. And then as we're contemplating and meditating on those good things that God could do in a bad situation, just let Him speak to you and see what what he might want to do. Because as we let him speak to us and we hear his voice, then we can understand what he's going to do and what faith will arise in our hearts. And actually, that leads to, there's a possibility that he could do even more than we could ask, think, or desire, or imagine. So what happens with this is it leads us to an ever upward spiral. Because actually that creative process of worrying, we allow God in, we can start going around those circles. And I actually think the people who have this worrying disposition are often the people of greatest faith. If you actually use that natural way that God has made you, bring him in, and then just to start to contemplate, wow, what could God do now? And the possibilities are endless. And as we go round and round and we just chew on these things that we've got, suddenly, instead of being closed in, the horizon gets broader and broader. So for me, that's been a secret of how to not worry. What I do is when an anxious thought or a worrying thought comes into my mind, I immediately pray. Quite often, I don't quite know what to do, so I'll just pray in tongues. And I've actually found myself walking down the corridor at work or in the street, suddenly found myself praying in tongues as anxious thoughts come in, and this has become an automatic reaction to bring it to God. And actually that causes peace and calm to come where anxious anxiety causes stress. I also found a scripture for those situations where we have to perform, whether it's interview, exam, or some sort of face-to-face meeting or presentation. And that's in Mark 13:11, where it says, when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, don't be anxious beforehand about what you're to say, but say whatever is given to you in the hour. It's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now those are extreme situations. How much more can God speak to us about the things which are much more trivial, much more than actually being put on trial for our lives? He actually is going to give us things, situations to say and to do, and to intervene in real time. So we don't need to be anxious beforehand. So the result of that has been, actually I don't worry as half as much. In fact, hardly at all compared to what I used to. Even in very bad situations. As I was thinking about the bad situations which would have previously sent me completely over the edge, which didn't, I was thinking about 3 years ago, I was on a work trip to India. At Delhi Airport, I was supposed to be being met by a driver for an 11-hour drive. But it seems like a crazy way to do it, that's just the way they do it. And I arrived. No driver. It's fine, I have contact detail for my host, so I get my phone out, phone him, no signal. No driver, no phone signal, what do I do? Well, I ended up just walking around in the arrivals area. I was tempted to get extremely anxious. Actually, I did quite a bit of praying. Slightly more. But finally my phone rang, because even though I hadn't got that going signal, I could receive, and my host was saying, I mean, there's a driver there, he's probably back up, where are you? And I said, well, I'm worried about where is he? Actually, we're able to get sorted out. So, this is my steps for how, when we attempted to worry, we open our hearts to him, and we say that we trust him. Think about the possible scenarios and outcomes of what he could do in those situations. Let him speak to us, and then realize that actually we can do far more than we could ever imagine. I think for me, I've told this story before, it was, it has such a profound effect on me, I'm going to tell it again, about actually what underlies all of this. So when I was, around early 20s, I had a situation in my life where I didn't know what the future was going to hold. I was sort of stuck. I was reading a book, a novel, because I had nothing else to do. And it was one of those novels with lots of twists and turns in the plot. You always know it's going to end well, but actually, in order to make it an interesting and good novel, it appears that everything was going to go wrong until you know that the author's going to slowly move it around. And I can remember thinking, I just wish that my life had an author that was going to weave all these difficult situations around into good. And I just felt God saying, I own the author of your life. If you can really trust me, I will, however difficult and interesting and exciting the twists and turns of the plot, know that I'm going to lead you through, ultimately. And that had such an amazing change in me, because I realised I could actually trust him with real things, in real time, in real life, and he actually was in control. It wasn't just words on a page, it was actually true. It wasn't just stuff I knew here, it was something I knew here. So actually, in that situation, I now know that I can trust him. So, if the two hallmarks of worry were uncertainty about the future and the need to provide our own solutions, the two hallmarks of trust and faith are certainty in the knowledge of the care of God. Secondly, submission to his solutions. I thought it was all nicely summed up by this quote. It's got some pretty flowers on it. All fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. It's a very good way of putting it. So that's got the two first parts of this scripture. Don't be anxious, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Now we come to the result. The result is peace. Peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's two aspects of peace. The one is the most obvious, that as we trust in him, we realize that he's in control. He knows everything that we don't know. He knows the future. He knows all circumstances. He's for us, and as in, he's favorable towards us. Then actually, we realize that we're in the hands of somebody we can trust, and peace will arise in our hearts. The natural outcome of a deep-rooted trust in God, that he will fill us with peace and realize deep down that he's for us and in control, and we realize that there's nothing to worry about. And the second aspect is that when we need to make decisions, it's a very good indicator that we're actually making the decision with him. So normally, if I have a decision to make, and I don't know, and I've weighed up all the options, and it all seems, and I pray about it, then I'll make a decision, and if I feel a sense of, peace, I'm thinking that's in line with what God wants. But if I make a decision, I still feel agitated, and actually I don't have that peace, then actually I made that decision wrong. A very good barometer for knowing whether we're hearing him and following him. This doesn't just talk about peace. It says peace which surpasses understanding. We're not getting peace because we've logically worked out the answer. But in peace, because our brains have mastered it, is something that surpasses understanding. It means that faith has risen up inside us. Now, there's two well-known scriptures about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that's the word rhema, which is the spoken now word of God, not logos. It's not about studying the Bible and then faith will arise. It's about hearing God's now word. And of course, you may choose to speak through the Bible. And the second is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And both of those, where is the understanding in both of those? Where is the mind? It's nowhere. These are spiritual realities that come, that surpass our understanding. And it's through that, that's the sort of peace that we're talking about. So, in conclusion, if you're tempted to worry,